excess and dopamine deficiency. So, first off, I wrote this as a prompt a couple weeks back when I was like really hot for the idea and wanting to discuss it more. And it's cooled off a bit since then, and I want to still explore that. But I have a feeling that it might require another revisiting some other time when perhaps it is even more, I don't know why I use the term hot, when I'm really in the thick of trying to figure it out again. And so it's also kind of nice to have some space from it and to kind of figure out where I was going with it in a slower manner. But basically, so I had a counselor, and I don't even remember how long it was ago now, 6 months ago or so, they brought up this term of dopamine deficiency and saying that we should explore that with you and see if your doctor can run some tests and see if that's a thing. My doctor refused to do that because there wasn't, that doesn't matter. Whatever. I never got the test done, and I also no longer see that counselor anymore either. So it was an idea that made a lot of sense and something that I'd never heard about before. And the way that it was presented and whatever else, it just seemed to click. So it's something that I've had on my mind, and I've used that to kind of do some self-analysis. I've mentioned this before, but even the term anxiety, just giving something a label, can bring so much power and opportunity to me, because it gives me something to explore. And having a name or a label that, even though it might not be 100% accurate of every single thing that I'm feeling, if there's like 10 things that make up that label and I feel 8 of them, that's still helpful. It can guide me towards some things to research and some conversations to have with medical professionals or otherwise, and try to figure out some things that may work to better my situation. So even the label of anxiety has me working towards that. And then yes, it's been confirmed multiple times, like general anxiety disorder is a thing that I seem to fit in without pause. But even other people looking at like, well, is there some ADHD there? Is there this? Is there that? But even this, dopamine deficiency, right? So it makes sense to me. And a lot of the times when I bring these things up, it's that it's not a reason or excuse for behavior as much as it is the way that I'm looking at it. Is like, yes, I guess it could be a reason as to why I behave the way I behave, but for me, really, it is the reason why I struggle with certain things, and it is, most importantly, it is an avenue to pursue in order to try and be better and not be as affected by certain nurtured habits and conditioning that I've done with myself or that has happened with my childhood or whatever, or just nature and both of those things. So it gives me something to explore. It gives me a direction. And sometimes I realize, yeah, that's not really, yeah, I went down that path and I explored that and it doesn't really fit. This is something that does fit, and it gives me an opportunity to figure out how I can make it better, basically. So I specifically said dopamine deficiency, like, or excess, the notion of excess and dopamine deficiency. And I think that it fits because this notion of excess has been something that I've played around with for years, or noticed about myself, played around with in the way of like tossing it around the old noggin and having discussions with others and myself about just like, why do I have this need for excess all the time? And a dopamine deficiency would make sense as to when there is an opportunity to create dopamine, then I will do it to excess because it is not there at an average rate, consistently. It's not being consistently it's not being consistently allowed to release when it could be released in others in the same situation. Obviously, everybody's body chemistry and brain chemistry is different, but there are some things that fall within an average to our understandings, and other things that fall outside of that. So if there is a dopamine deficiency, that is something that could be measured, from what I'm told. It hasn't been measured within me at this point, but yeah, that's a whole other story. So I guess for me, it helps me see excess through that lens and try to find some ways to pursue that dopamine and understand that that is what my body is wanting and or needing. And that just kind of, it works in tandem with a lot of other things I've been talking about, in the realm of anxiety, in the realm of, you know, how do I bring that down? And like, part of that could be through exercise and trying to do things through healthy coping mechanisms, because I find that very difficult. Because if I want to calm anxiety, I want to calm it now. And so that leads to the temptation to pursue something that would be short-term and immediate gratification rather than putting in the work to do something long-term. Because doing something long-term doesn't help right now. It helps long-term, right? I can do things that are preventative for anxiety, but once I get to that place where I am feeling doom or like just incredibly anxious, what do I do to lessen that? And I'm left with not a lot of things that seem to be healthy. So just thinking about, again, like the dopamine deficiency, the excess, the desire that I have for certain types of arousal, if you want to put it that way. If you want to put it that way, I'm putting it that way. Because I think of arousal as more than just sexual. I think of arousal like I can be aroused in my spirit. I can be aroused creatively through the process of art making, right? Like that is arousing my senses or exercise is arousing, you know, my senses and my body and being aware of the physical world around me and how I move within it, right? So I think that there are some great ways to chase dopamine that are positive. But I do understand better why I do chase certain experiences and opportunities and have a lot of temptations for things that would negatively impact my life. If that dopamine deficiency is a real concern, which it seems to fit anyway. I don't know how deficient it would be or if it falls in that category. Maybe not at all. Again, these things could be tested. They just haven't been, and it was not my choice to not have them tested. And maybe in the future I can get those things tested, so we'll see. But I think that it helps just to follow that path of thought and explore that. Because, again, for me, it just helps me reframe some things. I'm like, okay, if that's what my brain is needing, how can I think of things differently? And how can I try to do some work with, you know, neural pathways and stuff to be like, why can't this thing give me joy? What if I just say that it gives me joy? Why can't I just create a placebo for myself? And sometimes those work for me and sometimes they don't. And just say like, well, I did what I needed to do. And that could give me joy. And it's difficult. And I'll make this comparison to physical exercise. So if you don't know, I try to make a lot of changes. I have been making a lot of changes with my health. And I had 3 pillars of diet, sleep, and exercise that I was really focusing on hard a couple months ago. And I made a shift and was like, hey, I'm changing this, this, and this. And like everything kind of works together, especially the sleep and the exercise, though, because of my job and because of other things. The only way I could really get that physical exercise was in the morning. And I had to get up really early, which means I have to go to sleep really early because they work together. It's hard for me to force myself awake for a certain amount of days in a row without proper sleep. So I was playing basketball, and that was a motivator for me because I really enjoy playing basketball. And I committed to getting up at like 5:15 in the morning, 5:30 in the morning latest, and get up and get rolling. And I was excited to start my day that way. And I went too many times in a row where my body was not ready for that, and my knees have been suffering for months. And I have not been able to sprint and jump and play without doing more harm to my knees, so I just don't do that activity the same way anymore. But it is an incredibly slow healing process. So I've been going to physio. Now, because I cannot run and jump and do things, or even like on a stationary bike, I'm not supposed to be really overworking my knees that much at all. I can't seem to break a sweat. And there's other things I could do. I could like bench press or something like that. But with the activities that I'm familiar with, that I want to do, that seem fulfilling to me and fun, I can't break a sweat right now. And that's really difficult, because that is where I could alleviate some anxiety. That is where I can clear my mind a bit, is through the physical being pushed enough, right? Whereas now I'm doing the physio stuff. And the physio stuff is important for the long term. But it's just me checking off a box. It doesn't feel good to do it. It feels annoying. It's slow. It's not fun. And if it is helping at all, it is so minuscule that I can't really measure it. And that's really difficult for me. I'm not getting any dopamine out of this activity. I'm not getting any enjoyment out of it. I don't get any feelings of like endorphins or whatever else, because I'm not being pushed hard enough. So it just becomes a mental thing of like, hey, I did what I was supposed to do today. That's really difficult for me. If the dopamine deficiency is a thing, which again makes sense, for me to say, I did what I was supposed to do today, that feels good. It doesn't feel good. On paper, it looks good, and I know that I should feel good, but I don't actually feel it. And if that's a chemical thing, then how much can I even help that? And so I crave and create other opportunities to get that dopamine. And that comes with excess, sometimes with excess food, or in the past, excess substances. And I want to do a whole story time on cannabis and stuff at some point, because I've talked about alcohol in the past. And even that's changed a bit since I've done that last one. But there are things that I'm like, if I'm doing a thing I really enjoy, I just want to do it and not stop, because it is giving me this thing that I can't get through other avenues. That like, if I need to go all the way to like, if we're on a scale of 0 to 10 and I need to go to 8 in order to feel that, and someone can get that from going to a 5, I can't get it from going to a 5 with the physio that I'm doing, with physical stuff. I can't do it. I can't get the dopamine. I can't get that feeling from a 5. And so I go to 8, and I want to stay in 8 because I know I'm missing it. I don't feel good or happy or whatever the majority of the time. So when I am in the pocket of feeling that, I don't want it to end. And that is a huge revelation to me, I guess, as to why I have a hard time with like saying goodbye if I'm in the company of friends or whatever that I don't see often, or because I'm like, well, who knows when this is going to happen again? And part of that is the anxiety, and part of that is I feel good right now. I like feeling good. Feeling good feels good. Why not? Can't we just feel good all the time? And then it goes into this whole other thing with, feeding thoughts. In the past year, especially, or year or two, of hedonism, and just like, well, why can't we just feel good all the time? And it goes down a rabbit hole. So like I said, I want to revisit this at some point, but that's kind of the beginning of it. And I don't know where it'll develop, but it gives me something to think about as to why I struggle with the notion of excess so much, if there is a dopamine deficiency there, which has yet to be proven within me, but it's a theory that fits, and either way, it helps me understand myself better as to why I may do the things I want to do. Because even if it's just perceived that I'm not getting enough out of this activity, perception is reality too, right?